is a sugya that relates to Eretz Yisrael. It really takes up a good portion of this week's parsha, so I thought we'd talk a little bit about it. It's a topic of kvura of Eretz Yisrael, the significance of a person being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and some of the parameters of this halacha. So of course this was the last desire of Yaakov and of Yosef, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So let's try to understand this a little bit, up the halacha, what some of the parameters are. So the sugya begins in the first line of Mekomos, in Maseches Ksubos, in Afkuf Yud Aleph, Amid Aleph. So the Gemara tells us, Amar of Anan, called a cover of Eretz Yisrael, he would cover tachas of his bech. A person was buried in Eretz Yisrael, that's considered to be a wonderful thing. It's as if the person is buried literally by the Mizbech, presumably just as the Mizbech is mechaper for him, so he's going to receive a kapara by being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Ksiv hocha, Mizbech ademata asali, uksiv hosam v'chifad maso amol. The Torah uses the same phrase of kapara, referring to the Mizbech and referring to Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael has the ability to be mechaper for a person after he dies. So Ula v'ragil v'avesalach l'Eretz Yisrael. But Ula used to travel often from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. The Gemara very often says, Ki yasa Ula. So Ula very often was going back and forth. Nach nafshe b'chutz l'Eretz. So in fact he died at one of his trips when he was in Chutz l'Eretz, so he died. So also Amalei l'Rabbi Elazar. So they told Rabbi Elazar, Elazar lived in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So we told Rabbi Elazar that Ula just passed away in Chutz L'Aretz. So Amar, he said, Ant Ula l'adama t'meya tomus. So he said, Nebuch, you Ula, you died in a place that's Tameh, you died in Babel, you didn't, weren't Zoycha to die in Eretz Yisrael. So Amulo, so they said to Rabbi Elazar, don't feel so bad, Aronova. He said, his arm's coming to bring his body to be better in Eretz Yisrael. So they thought Rabbi Elazar would say, okay, at least he's going to be better in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, no, Avalam, Eino doma kotosa mechayam kotosa le'achamisa. He says that, yeah, it's a nice thing, it's a wonderful thing to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not the same as living in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, the fact that Ula had left Eretz Yisrael, he had been in Chutz L'Aretz, and now he's just being brought back after his death, so that's something, but it's not as great as living in Eretz Yisrael when a person is alive. So like they say a little bit in a joke, but there's a certain degree of truth to it. He said, we ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu to take us back to Eretz Yisrael, that cover me us when we're standing up. So chamius means to be standing on your own 2 feet, not laying on your back, and the other way. So this is the conclusion of the Gemara Maseches Ksubos, where at least at this stage of the Gemara doesn't really give us a halachic reason to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara gives us more of a machshava reason. It's considered to be a kapara for the person. And the Gemara continues with a different angle of the significance of being buried in Eretz Yisrael in the second of the Mamakamos. The Gemara in Ksubos Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara had previously made a statement in the name of Rabbi Elazar also. Rabbi Elazar said that people who are in Chutz L'Aretz, people who are buried in Chutz L'Aretz, so are not going to come back at Chias HaMeisim. So the Gemara says, wow, how can that be? Rabbi Elazar, Tzadikim Shebu Chutz L'Aretz, Edom Chayim, how can anybody say such a thing? Rabbi Elazar couldn't say that. So the Gemara says, no, what it means is as follows. Am Rabbi Elah Al Yedei Gilgul. That it means that they're going to come back. First they're going to have to travel through Chutz L'Aretz. They're going to have to make it through underground tunnels. They're going to have to make it back to Eretz Yisrael. And the only Chias HaMeisim itself will not take place in Chutz L'Aretz. So Masik Rabbi Abbasala Rava Gilgul Tzadikim Tsaru. So he said, that's going to be very painful. I have a wonderful tzaddik who's niftar Chutz L'Aretz. He can't be better in Eretz Yisrael. So you're going to tell me he's going to have to suffer the rolling, literally the Gilgul, Galgalim, he's going to have to roll all the way to Eretz Yisrael in order to come back to Chias HaMeisim. So that would be terrible, painful. I'm Rabbi Mechilos Nasos Lahem Bekarka. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make special tunnels for them. There'll be a special way for the tzaddikim to walk. It'll be a long walk, but the 6,000 will get extra miles for that. But they'll have to first walk back to Eretz Yisrael, and then and only then will they actually come back literally from the ground itself. So the Gemara relates this to the Pasuk that in this week's parasha, the Sasanim Mitzrayim Kvartani B'Kvurosam, that Yaakov Avinu was insistent that he be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So Amakarna Dvar Bego Yodea Yaakov Avinu Shetzadik Gomer Hoya. So Yaakov realized that he was a tzaddik, and he realized that he's going to come back to Chias HaMeisim. Why did he bother his sons to schlep, to carry him back? A whole procedure, half of Parshas Vayechi, dealing with the last parak in Breishas, dealing with the burial of Yaakov Avinu. Why wasn't he just buried in Mitzrayim? And Chias HaMeisim will go back to Eretz Yisrael. So Shema Lo Yiskel Mechilo. So the Gemara says that Yaakov was concerned. Maybe he wasn't a big enough tzaddik. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't prepare those tunnels for him. So therefore Yaakov didn't want to take any chances. He didn't want to be rolling the Yosef Lavo. So therefore he insisted on being buried out in Eretz Yisrael. So again, if you walk away from these two sugyas, so It's clear that Chazal are preferring burial in Eretz Yisrael. There's no question about it, for a variety of reasons, either because it has some degree of kapara to it, as well as this Tchias HaMeisim aspect to it. But again, the Gemara doesn't make any halakhic statements about this. The Gemara is just saying that it's a good thing, it's a proper thing. A person who is not zeich and live in Eretz Yisrael should at least try to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So now we enter into the world of halacha, where now the question becomes, is there any real halakhic consideration to be being buried in Eretz Yisrael? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in the third of the Mamakamos, in the third of the Mamakamos, Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei and Simin Shin Samach Gimel Sif Aleph, quotes the following halacha: Ein mefanin hameis vahatzamos, lo mekeva mechubad lekeva mechubad, velo mekeva bozo lekeva bozoi, velo mebozo lemechubad, vein sa mechloma mechubad lebozoi. A person is not permitted to dig up a body, to exhume a body, to bury it somewhere else, if the second kever is on equal footings. I mean, if a person is already buried in a respectful way, you're not permitted to just take the body out, to dig the body up, just to bury it somewhere else. Or even if the kever is not so 100% mechubad, even if it's going to be a little bit nicer kever, the second kever, one is not permitted in general, in regular circumstances, to dig up the body to rebury it. Why exactly is the problem? What's the issue involved? So there are two totally different approaches in the post-game as to what the nature of this issur is. This issur is based on Chazal, it's based on Maseches Smachos, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, so it's a halacha, that's clearly a halachic statement, but why exactly does it come from, where does it come from, is somewhat unclear. So there are two very, very different approaches to this topic. So first we'll give the straight halachic approach, then we'll give the more mystical approach. So the straight halachic approach is suggested by some that it's considered to be a bittul of the mitzvah's kavura. That the mitzvah of kavura is not just a one-time mitzvah that a person buries his mace and that's it. The mitzvah is that kikavati kverenu, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that the person should be buried and should remain buried. And if a person undoes the burial, so for those couple of minutes that the person is not buried, that's considered to be like a bittul of mitzvah. It's like Marshal Radav Adoma, we have several mitzvahs like that. There are some mitzvahs which are just a one-time kiyum, and you eat matzah, you eat it, it's over, finish, you shake a lulav, you blow the shofar, that's it. Then there are other mitzvahs where you have to do a certain action, but the mitzvah is a continuous type of a mitzvah, and as such, the mitzvah could potentially be undone. So, like, let's say, for example, the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. So there are some Acharonim who say, the mitzvah is not just to write a Sefer Torah. The mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah so that you should have a Sefer Torah. And if a person writes a Sefer Torah and then the Sefer Torah gets destroyed, gets burnt, gets stolen, so then a group of Acharonim are quoted in Yeridei saying, you would have to write another Sefer Torah. Because it's not a mitzvah like shaking a lulav. Once the mitzvah is done, it's over. It's a mitzvah that you do once, which has an ongoing kiyum to it. The Gemara has a machlokis, a maseches yevamos, about the mitzvah of puravu. The Torah says a person is supposed to have children, supposed to have the minimum of a boy and a girl. What would Allah Khabir, Rahman al-Sulan, a person has a boy and a girl, and then one of the children died. So is the person considered to have fulfilled the mitzvah or not? So we pass in halacha that not, that the mitzvah puravu is also such a mitzvah, that it's an ongoing type of a mitzvah, so a person would be required to fulfill the mitzvah again, to try to have another child to be mashlim, the child that passed away. So that's what some achronim say, the mitzvah of kavura falls into that category of mitzvahs, that it's an ongoing type of a mitzvah. So anytime you exhume a body, so for that interim, the short couple of minutes, you'd be mevato the mitzvah's kavura. And others say that it's not based on such a misnagdish, a lumdish, a mahalach, a bit of mitzvah's kavura. Others quote from the psukim in Navi Sefer Shmuel, where the psukim describes that the mice in the end of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, that the Isha Balas Ov, how the woman who was involved in witchcraft was bringing Shmuel and Navi back from the dead. So she brings Shmuel and Navi up, and Shmuel gets very, very nervous. So the prophet says, he's trembling. Why did you bring me up? So Chazal say, why was Shmuel trembling? So he thought that he was coming to the Yom HaDin. He thought it was the Din, the Asad, the Din Le'asad Lavo. And even Shmuel, the Helig, Helig, the Tzadik, Shmuel, Bekar, Shmuel, the Helig, Shmuel, and Navi. So he was nervous when he saw that he's being brought up from the dead. He thought that who knows what's going to happen to him. So that's what some say, that if a person digs up a body, so the neshama gets very, very nervous. They think something's happening. They think, who knows what's taking place. So that's why you shouldn't exhume a body. So again, a very different approach to what's going on. But the mice of the issue is them come home. But the issue definitely exists. One is not permitted to be mefane hameis. Nevertheless, Chazal give a few examples where pinei hameis, where to exhume a body would be permissible. So the Shulchan Aruch continues, ובסוך שלו אפילו ממחובת לבוזי מותר שאורב לאדם שאינך עצל אבוסף. Let's say a person was the first buried in, not in a family plot, he wasn't buried with the rest of his family, and now we want to rebury him next to the rest of his family, next to his parents, next to his avosov. So then the Shulchan Aruch quotes that would be permissible, because it's understood that the person would be noach lo, that the person would want such a thing, that is for the person's benefit to be buried etzel avosov. So again, the Achronim point out that no matter which pshat you say in the Yisr, it seems to make sense. If you hold the nature of the Yisr is a bitul mitzvah kvura, so the halacha is that you're allowed to delay a kvura in order to enhance kavanah neis. Anything that the mace really would have wanted, to get a nice aron, to get a nice tachrichim, whatever, to get more people to come to the levaya. So the Gemara says that what is permitted, the Mishnah says, what is permitted to delay a levaya for those things. So you see that the mitzvah's kvura can sometimes be put on hold if it's going to enhance the kavanah neis. Since the whole mitzvah's kvura is the kavanah neis, so you can delay the mitzvah's kvura if that goof was kavanah neis. So here the Chazal seems to understand that even when you exhume the body, that's called the bitul mitzvah kvura. But if you're doing it l'chavar ha'meis, you're doing it to something which the meis would definitely want, i.e. to be buried next to avosav, so that would be permissible. If you go the other approach, that the issur is because you're doing some kind of avla to the meis, you're scaring the meis or something, so okay, that's true. Maybe for those couple of seconds that the meis is getting nervous, but on the other hand, you're doing him a tremendous tova. So the tremendous tova is that he's not going to be buried next to avosav. So sometimes you have to do something for somebody, even if it hurts a little bit, because it's going to be something that ultimately the neshama really would prefer. So again, whatever the lumdus is, l'mais, it says in Shulchan Aruch, l'kovu etzel avosav is permissible. The folks can discuss the following shayla, that this is a very American type of a shayla. Ramesh has several tshuvas about this, that very often today, so it's not so much a question of the kovu etzel avosav, sometimes it's the kovu etzel banav. So what happens, a person died 80 years ago, they were buried in some old cemetery somewhere, where the trains in Brooklyn go over, whatever, old cemetery, and now the children and the grandchildren, they live out in Long Island, they live in some fancy community with some beautiful, wonderful, fancy, modern cemetery, and they want to bring their ancestors, they want to bring their parents to be buried next to them. So the question is, that's not etzel avosav, that's etzel banav. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, what kind of heter is that? He says, that's not the covenant. To move the parents, that the parents should move in with the children. It's like, yeah, the other way around. The psukim say, kibur osiel avosai. It's always considered to be a greater covenant that Yaakov is buried next to Yitzchak. To do the other way around, so that's not necessarily a covenant. So that's a modern day type of a shiloh. But a kopan of the Shulchan Aruch writes that the kavra itself also would be mutter. Now the second case that's important for us, v'chein kedei l'kavro be'eretz Yisrael mutter. So what if you want to take the body and rebury the body in Eretz Yisrael? So that would also be permissible. So why is that? So again, going back to the two reasons that we said, why is there an issa to be mefanas ha'meis in the first place? So if the issa is a bitul mitzvah kvura, so whatever is the chavad ha'meis is mutter. So obviously burying in Eretz Yisrael is a good thing, is a positive thing. It has all the milas that we said before. So just as, let's say, a person passes away, so you're allowed to delay the levaya to get him to go to Eretz Yisrael. We don't say that, well, there's a basic chorus here across the street, so you must bury him here. No, we want to take him to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara has many stories like that. People died in Bavel, like Ula died in Bavel, and they took him back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's okay. Yaakov, Yosef, it's a different story. Yaakov, they took back to Eretz Yisrael. I had to lay the kvura by a significant amount of time, but that's all the chavad ha'meis, so that would be mutter. So to exhume the body, the chavad ha'meis is also mutter. So to bury him in Eretz Yisrael would also be permissible. Or according to the other reason, that even though it's scary for the neshama to be to dig the body up, but Alpa Pichain, it's for the ultimate Toelos, it's going to give the person a kapara, it's going to make life easier for him at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. So whatever the considerations are, it would be mutter. So the Maisa, here you see in Shulchan Aruch, in Halacha, not just in terms of Drush and Machshava, Dachivas Aretz, they see that there's Halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya that's working with the premise that to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is a positive thing, is a better thing than to be buried in Chutz La'aretz. And that is Nafkamin of Medina, that one would be permitted to actually exhume the body, which would otherwise be prohibited, but it would be permissible to get a cover of Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Moshe has it's interesting, just before we get to Rav Moshe, the Ramah quotes on this din, the Ramah quotes a minute that we have today, that Yesh Nogim Laseis Me'ofer Eretz Yisrael Bekever, says that there are somewhat of the practice of if a person is buried in the Chutz La'aretz, so they should at least be buried in Eretz Yisrael a little bit, so the minig is they take dirt from Eretz Yisrael and they put it into the kever. How do we understand what this minig is based on? So the Chari just goes back to the two reasons that the Gemara had in Ksubis, what the mile of being buried in Eretz Yisrael is. If the mile is based on Tchias HaMeisim, so then the dirt from Eretz Yisrael is not going to make much of a difference if the person of Mice is buried geographically in Chutz Laaretz. But if the idea is based on Kapara, like the first part of the Sugya, that the Ofar Oretz is Sama Mechaper, it's like Ilu cover Eitz Mizbeach, so maybe one could argue that the dirt from Eretz Yisrael has the ability to be Mechaper even in Chutz Laaretz. The dirt that comes from Eretz Yisrael that's planted in Chutz Laaretz, let's say you would take dirt from Eretz Yisrael and you would plant it in your backyard, but fruit that grows, there wouldn't be Chayav Shemitah, there wouldn't be Chayav Terumas Maisis. Once it's part of Chutz Laaretz, it's part of Chutz Laaretz. But somehow for this aspect of Kvura, of Kapara, so maybe it would be sufficient. The source for this minig is a medrash in the sixth parasha, in Parashas Vayechi. And getting back to the story about being buried in Eretz Yisrael, how one is permitted to exhume a body in order to bury it in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva in the fourth of the Ramakamis, and he's a smosh in Chelik Yerodei and Chelik Yerodei, Chelik Gimel, Simen Kuflin Gimel. The Indian Pinoy at Sama Fasar Moshe Montefiore le Eretz Yisrael. So the Shiloh was, they wanted to bring the body of Sir Moses Montefiore, I don't think it was buried in England, came from England, and he was a big Oiv of Eretz Yisrael, and he gave a lot of built a windmill that didn't work or whatever, but he got a good restaurant, a guy's hotel there, but he did a lot of great things for the Yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. So many years later, they wanted to bring his bones, they wanted to bring him and his wife's body to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So the question was this permissible or not? So I don't know whether Rav Moshe was being asked to Shalom, as of whatever Rav Moshe was going to say, that was what was going to happen. I think it was a little bit more of a theoretical question. They were asking Rav Moshe what he thought, what the Torah would say about such a practice. So he says that, he writes that if you skip down a little bit, because the first one line is Haya, six lines into the tshuva. So he says, Haya ulai makom lo mashaleka isa kishechvenosu lefenosu le'eretz Yisrael. So Moshe starts off by saying that l'chora should be okay because the purpose of is to bring the body to Eretz Yisrael. But he says, no, he doesn't think so. He says, af shagam zeh poshen u'boror, sheshayach zeh, this whole halacha, you're permitted to actually dig up the body to take him to Eretz Yisrael. He says this is when the motive is l'chvod hameis, in a sense, where it's the children who are doing it because they really want to give the parent the kapara, they really want to make life easy for the parent, they're really interested in the benefit of the parents. He says, other people, who says they have a hetzer to do this? Why are they moving the bones of Sir Moses Montefiore? They're moving it because all of a sudden they decided we want to do a tremendous chesed with all the mason and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. So go bring everybody else. They're not digging up all the batei kvaros in all of Europe for the last thousands of years. So he says, obviously they're doing it for some other reason. Whatever reason, I don't want to, whatever, good reason, bad reason, whatever it is. Whatever the Rebbe Cheshbon saw to make a monument, to make a tourist attraction, whatever they want to make out of this. But says Rav Moshe, this is not really the Tovus Hameis, he's not doing it with Tovus Hameis. So he says, Mehechateis, you have a right to do this. So he says that all the Heilige Tzadikim, Shem Rabboseinu, HaKadmonim, Ben Gaoni Ashkenazim, Ben Gaoni Asfardim, so look at all the Rabbonim, Kenoshim, who've been buried in Chutz Laaretz, Hashem Rabboseinu, Ben Ashkenazim, Ben Sanam, Anichim, Asad Hashem, Chutz Laaretz. And then he says, Uchsheyifnu Kivei Asar V'Ishto, Yekim Avazim, Eskola Rabboseinu, Mos Olam. So he says, if you want to taka undo all the kvaros for the last thousands of years and bring everybody there, it's all good. That would be more than maybe. But to go pick one person because he's a famous person because he gave a lot of money there, it's all. So he doesn't think that's really appropriate. And then he says even worse, he says, wait a second. He says, Sir Moses Montefiore wanted to be buried in Chutz Laaretz. If he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, he had the means to do so, and he would have done so. He knew about Eretz Yisrael. The famous picture from Eretz Yisrael. So he knew his way to Eretz Yisrael. So Umerov Ritzon Elias Nikra B'Irosha B'Chutz Laaretz Lo Ba'af B'Yam of Acharonim. He said because he Dafka wanted to be buried in England. Again, I'm not sure about the history about this. Rav Moshe claims that apparently history historians told us that since he Dafka wanted to be buried in Chutz Laaretz, he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael at the end of his life because he was afraid. He was up and moved up. He shoved Eretz Yisrael from Mushav to Kavushav. He didn't want to be that way. Hare Chazin and Tzarelo Tam Gadol. So he said, but that is Chesh Bainis, right or wrong? He wanted to be buried in Chutz Laaretz. just lavar al tzava also b'shem ofan. Therefore, we have no right to undo what he wanted. But also the fenos from a field of kovim beretz Yisrael. So he says that's what the din is. So he says even though at first glance it would appear to be better in Eretz Yisrael, it's wonderful gevaldik, it should be matir all this whole iser. So he says, no, that's not true. It's only matir the iser for the relatives, and it's only matir when it's latovus and meis, and it's only matir when the meis didn't express interest in to the contrary. If it meets all the criteria, then and only then would it be permissible. If not, then one is not supposed to be mefana meis. So chopanim. Up until now we've been discussing the maila of being derid in Eretz Yisrael, that not only is it a maila pi ashkofa, pi kapor, and things of that nature, but it has some halachic ramifications. But now we move on to the very essence of the mitzvah kvur itself, that some of the guidelines of the mitzvah kvur may be different in Eretz Yisrael than they are in Chutz Laaretz. So the Torah tells us in Sefer Devarim Pashas Kiseite, the fifth of the Ramakamas, in Devarim Perach of Al Pasuk of Beis, the Torah is speaking specifically about a person who is chayav misa zeizdin, and there's a whole protocol about misa and pliyala eitz. So the Torah then continues, los alinit los ola eitz, one is not permitted to leave his body hanging. Rather, he has to be buried on that day. So the Torah tells us you have to bury someone who's chayav misa zeizdin on that day. So the Gemara Maseches in Hedrin derives from here that this is not only true for a chayav misa zeizdin, but it's kav v'chomer. Madach, someone who's chayav misa zeizdin, the guy is a Rasha, he's an Evid of a Zara, he's the worst of the worst. And still the Torah says you have to be machpat in his bizar, you're not allowed to leave his body around. There's a mitzvah deraisa of kikavah tikrenah b'yamahu, there's an issur in the Torah of what's called halonas ha-meis, of leaving the mace over. So for sure, a regular person, a normal person, of course, there's a mitzvah of kavura as well. Kikavatik merenah b'yamahu. So that's the way Paskin, the Rambam Paskin, the Chos Avil, that the mitzvah of kavura for everybody is derais, and not just for chayim mitzvah zeizdin, but there's a chiyuv gomra to cover anybody min haTorah. Then at the end, the Torah throws in the following phrase, lo satamiyas ad moscha, asher Hashem lekechen aseim l'chanachala, that you have to be careful not to be metame Eretz Yisrael. Because if you leave mason around, that's going to lead l'day tumas ha'aretz. So it's unclear what the significance of that last phrase is. The Torah just told us, "Losolim is losolim." You're not allowed to leave the mason over. Kavitik brenah b'yamu. It just gave us a mitzvah sasei of kruas. There's an asei and a los sasei. And then the Torah concludes the pasuk, "Losatami asad moscha." So what's pshat? So comes the Ramban and says in Devarim Perachat Aleph on that pasuk, "Losatami asad moscha." Al dash Rabbi Seinu einenu ta'am b'olvad. Don't think that lo satami asad moscha is the reason for the mitzvah's kavura. Don't think that the only reason we have to be kavim meisim is because they shouldn't leave people around because they're going to be metami everybody. Bavush lo satami asad moscha. Don't think that. Shimken yem mutter b'chutz laaretz. So then there would be no iser in chutz laaretz. There would be no mitzvah's kavura in chutz laaretz, and that's clearly not the case. So obviously what the Torah is telling us is in a sense a third halacha. There's a low solid of loss away. There's an issa to leave over mason. Then there's the second mitzvah called kvura. Then there's a third mitzvah called losatami asad moscha. So what's the significance of that? Havahu lav shein, he says the Rabban. Vine hameilim hatoloi afilu hameis ba'aretz over b'shnei lav v'esei. So if a person, somebody dies in Eretz Yisrael and they don't bury him at the right time, so then they're in violation of three different halachas. They're in violation of the mitzvah esei, they're mevatel the mitzvah esei of kavura, and they're also in violation of two lavim. So the lav of lo solin and the lav of lo satame. So in Echanami, it's worse to not bury somebody in Eretz Yisrael is worse than not to bury somebody in Chutz Laaretz. Uvechutz Laaretz the esei v'lo sasei echad. Whereas in Chutz Laaretz, so Bishkepelech, you're only in violation of two isurim. You're not in violation of the third isur. The isur of lo satame esad moscha doesn't apply in Chutz Laaretz. The mitzvah's kvura does, the isur of lo solin does, but the mitzvah's kvura, the isur of lo satame doesn't apply. So if the Ramban would have just stopped at this point, it would have been interesting. Okay, so he's counting up lavim. You know, what's the real difference? A nachkami of a two lavim, three lavim, one lavim. At the end of the day, the Torah says, now let it do it. This was a tiny that some had against the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim in his Akdama to say for Chavetz Chaim. So he lists off 31 different Yisurim that a person violates when he speaks Lashon Hara. So sometimes it's a little bit misleading. It doesn't mean every single time you speak Lashon Hara you violate all 31 Yisurim. It means 31 possible Yisurim. Let's say, for example, one of the Yisurim is that if a person speaks Lashon Hara and the person we're speaking against is his parents, so that's an additional issa. If a person we're speaking against is a Kohen, so that's a bitl of a kiddashta, a bitl of showing cover to the Kohen. If it's his Rebbe, that's a different issa. So unless he's your parent, the Kohen, and your Rebbe, then you can violate all 31 of them. So, but the Chafetz Chaim is just trying to drive home the point that you can violate a lot of different Yisurim for the same action. So some had a tie against the Chafetz Chaim. They said, what's he adding on top? Moisir. If a guy is a Shema Torah mitzvah, the Kadosh Baruch says it one time, that's enough. If a person doesn't care what the Rebbe Shalom says, he can say it a million times, and he still doesn't listen. So what's the nafkamina? What do you have to add on? So the Chafetz Chaim would respond and say, we know this from our own children, that sometimes when you say something once, so then there's a good chance they're not going to listen. You say it five times, and the odds are getting a little bit better in your favor, not necessarily. Hopefully, if you say it enough times, so either you give up or they'll give up, something will happen. So sometimes repetition does work. So maybe that's all the Ramban is telling us, that in Eretz Yisrael it's worse than a variant, it's more than a variant, be more careful in Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban doesn't stop here. The Ramban says, no, there's something which is actually lemaisa that emanates from this additional love of Lo Satamis and Mosva. Says the Ramban, Umina Lava Zeh Kovi Yoshua Malchi Knan Di Yoman, Apa Pish Endit Liyasa and Aklosh Eski Rabbi Sainim Magadavi Ovid of Erezara, Vay Hayabem Mishum Tumas Aretz. So comes the Ramban and says, if you look at the Pesukim in Sefer Yoshua, so the Pesukim described when Yoshua went to war and when they killed some of the Malchi Canaan, so they buried those bodies. The Pesukim says explicitly that Yoshua was machped to bury the bodies before the end of the day. They fought the war, they finished the war, and then he buried them right away. So why was Yeshua so machped? They weren't, they were goyim. There's no mitzvah kvura on a goy. The Mishnah in Gittin says that we're supposed to be help out the non-Jews when they bury the mason, so we should try to help them out. Mishum dake shalom. We should try to assist them the same way we assist them in Bikicholim and Nichamaveilim and other things. So we try to help them out also. But in terms of the formal mitzvah kvura, there's no formal mitzvah kvura. So why did Yeshua have to metapel? He personally went to make sure that the mason were buried dafka before Shkia, and that they would have been buried the next day. What would have been so terrible? So the Ramban says no, because since it was taking place in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael there's an Isser of Lo Satamias Ad Moscha. So what is the Ramban telling us? That Lo Satamias Ad Moscha applies even to a non-Jewish mace. The mitzvah kvura and the Isser of Hawanas Ameis doesn't apply to a non-Jewish mace. That's limited to a Jewish mace. But the Isser of Lo Satamias Ad Moscha has nothing to do with Kavanah Ameis. That's an Isser of Tumas Aretz. So if you have a non-Jewish body around, that's also going to lead to make Tumas Aretz. So therefore there's a chi of gom and minat Torah, it's a very non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Ramban says, it's a chidish ladina. So if the Ramban is accepted, that would have some very, very serious ramifications, particularly for people who study medicine in Eretz Yisrael. Because there's a whole discussion in the post-kim, we spoke about this a couple of years ago, we spoke about some of these topics, that there's a big discussion in the post-kim, what gives a doctor a right to study bodies, to take apart bodies, to dissect bodies, what happens do you have? Isn't that considered to be a bitl of the mitzvah kvura, and isn't that considered to be a bizoyin ames, and half a dozen other reasons? To say that's pikuach nefesh is very, very difficult to defend, because usually pikuach nefesh means when you have what's called the chol lefaneinu, when you have a person who's in front of you who's sick, and now you want to get some information to address that particular illness right now, so that would be something to discuss. And then one could argue maybe it's mutter to do those kinds of things. But if it's not a chol lefaneinu, just stop. A person wants to advance his knowledge of medicine, that at some point in 20 years from now he'll be able to heal somebody, so that's very difficult. So Ramesh writes in the Shuvah that you can't say you're allowed to go to medical school because it's pikuach nefesh. He says, "In case in the self, if a kid is he's in ninth grade, he's taking the biology regents, so he's gonna practice in the regents on Shabbos. Why? Because he wants to become pre-med, and if he doesn't do well in the regents, he won't get into college, he won't get into medical school, he won't become a doctor, he won't save somebody's life." So Moshe says that's a joke. He says that's not pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is when it's something which is realistic in front of you. So what's the heter for a doctor to be involved in all these kinds of activities? So the answer is that he's doing all these work on a non-Jewish mace. So a non-Jewish mace, most of these halachas don't apply. There's no mitzvah kavura, and the dinim would be zayin. A mace don't really apply, and the Yisra Noah coin to some doesn't apply. So that's what the general heter is. That's why most of the time, if a doctor doesn't know to the contrary, so a person's in medical school, the body that he's working on is most probably a non-Jewish body. Certain medical schools they are machped to make sure that it's a non-Jewish body, but that's basically what the heter is. So if the Ramban is accepted, so then this whole heter falls by the wayside in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Eretz Yisrael, even though it's a non-Jewish body, there's an issue of losa tamei asad malcha, so you wouldn't be permitted to leave the non-Jewish body around in Eretz Yisrael. The problem is quite a chumrah for all the doctors who are training in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer to that dilemma is that who says we possibly like this Ramban? He says it's a chiddush of the Ramban, but the Rambam doesn't say such a thing. The Torah doesn't say it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it. Nobody else points this out. Nobody quotes this Ramban lahalacha. Not the Machab, not the Ramah, the Shach, the Taz. Nobody in Yerodea makes mention of the Ramban. When you learn Chumash, you learn Chumash and Ramban. So you roll into this Ramban. So l'chora mishtimas all the other Rishonim in the Poskim, we don't really follow this Ramban. But according to the Ramban, this would be an interesting dimension of Kavur and Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean? If it's an additional dimension, if it's not really halach, it's not binding, or maybe it doesn't apply to Goyim, maybe it only applies to Jewish nations. But it's a chiddush gadol. It's based on his reading of the Pesukim in the Navi Yeshua, which Pashas others had a different interpretation. The seventh of the Mamre comes to the same as the sixth. I think it was for Chazara. The Chafetz Chaim said, if you keep on repeating the things, then maybe it'll go in. So we'll move on to the eighth of the Mamre comes. Is there any other dimension of Eretz Yisrael that affects the halachas of Kura? So there is a Gemara that appears in Maseches Bava Kama. I didn't put it on the Mamre comes because it's like two words in the middle of a whole thing. I thought it would be more confusing than that. So I'll just say it about that. The Gemara is listing off all the different halachas that concern Yerushalayim. The Gemara says all the different unique halachas of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim can't be any anidachas and can't get the negay batim in it. And half a dozen other halachas. Yasar dvarim shenemru b'Yerushalayim. So the very last one, the Gemara says that eim alidim basameis. You're not allowed to leave over a dead body in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, menonimili, how do you know that's true? So the Gemara says, Gemara. The Gemara says it's a tradition. The Gemara never says what the reason is. So Rabbi Kibager on that Gemara says, if you take a look from the Zohar, so the Zohar gives you what the reason is. So I didn't take a look at the Zohar because I don't know the Zohar. It's a mold of look from the Zohar, but I wouldn't even know how to find it. I wouldn't know where it is, so I didn't bother looking. But the Poskim suggests a reason that perhaps the reason is similar to what the Ramban is saying about Eretz Yisrael. That just as in Eretz Yisrael, there's an added dimension of Lo Satanias Ad Moscha, that you have to be really, really careful not to have a Dvarim Tameim around in Eretz Yisrael, and even certain things that would be permissible in Chutzlaret, like leaving non-Jewish bodies around wouldn't be a violation of anything in Chutzlaret, but in Eretz Yisrael would be a problem. So Yerushalayim, which is a higher degree of Kedusha, a higher concentration of Kedusha, so maybe the standards of Tum are even higher. You have to be so careful, not only not to stam leave a body around forever, not to leave a body around at all, even overnight, Eimalin and Barsameis. So there is a question that the post can discuss. What is the significance of this prohibition of a melina b'asameis b'Yerushalayim? That after all, you're never allowed to be melina b'asameis. We just got finished learning. L'sorin of l'osolaitz, the nisad d'raisa, never leave over a dead body. So maya harila in this second dessert. So the answer is as follows, that if you take a look at the eighth of the Mamakam, so Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, in Shindin Zayin Tif Aleph, tells us also a hol hamais, one is not permitted to leave a dead body over elim ken helina lichvaldo, unless you are leaving it over till the next day in order to enhance the covered hamais that we mentioned before. Probably aron v'tachrichin amakomenos, in order to either get an aron or to get tachrichim or to get people to the women who used to publicly wail at the kavura, okadesh yevo krovim olashmir yaros, or in order that the relative should arrive, or that you should be able to spread the word, that you have better has paid them. Anything that enhances Kavod HaMeis would be permissible to delay the Kavura. The reason for this is, the Mishnah quotes, this Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Mishnah, the reason for this is, the post can say, because the Torah says, Ki kilos alakim tolu, that the reason why you're not allowed to delay Levaya is because it's a Bizayin HaMeis. Stam, if you don't care about the Meis, you're leaving it around, the person dies on Wednesday, we'll wait till Sunday because it's easier for us on Sunday, that's a Bizayin HaMeis. But if you're delaying till Sunday because you want to make sure people come, you want to make sure there's a proper Oren, Techrichim, etc., so that would be permissible because you're basically accomplishing Kavod HaMeis in a slightly different fashion. So normally the issue of L'Halanas HaMeis is lifted if it's the Mokom Kavod HaMeis. So here the post can say that cooler, that leniency doesn't apply in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, aim melina b'asameis. Period. End of discussion. So pasuk. You're never allowed to be melina b'asameis in Yerushalayim, even if it's l'tzarech kavod hameis. So that's the source for the practice that the Chevra Kedisha in Yerushalayim has ad hayom hazeh, that they try very, very hard not to be melina b'asameis. If somebody dies, then they're going to bury that person in the middle of the night. They don't want to let it go till the next morning because of that issur of aim melina b'asameis in Yerushalayim. So the emphasis is, is that it doesn't really apply in all of Yerushalayim. Pashtus, it only applies in those areas which are halachic Yerushalayim of old. Those areas that we call Yerushalayim today, Rabot, you know, other parts of Yerushalayim, which are very, very far from where the real original old city, quote unquote, was. So probably this halacha doesn't really apply. But Afa Bichain, that's the minig is that they're much more ma'apir about this in Yerushalayim than they are in other places. And the reason being, because there is a certain dimension of Apidin of Eimalina Basameis Yerushalayim. So Kol Panim, we find either a combination of this Ramban and this halacha from the Gemara Bava Kama, that the halachas of Kvura changed slightly in Eretz Yisrael, changed slightly in Yerushalayim. So Kvur in Eretz Yisrael is a positive thing, is something that we see from Yaakov and Yosef, how important it was. The Gemara in Subas gives us a variety of reasons for. We see that Al-Pi Halacha, it has certain afkaminas, that it's mafter pini ameis under certain circumstances, with the certain limitations that Ramesha developed. And then we find that it even may change certain dimension of the aspects of Kvura, that it requires a Kvura perhaps even for non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and it trumps the halacha of Ha'l'Neil L'Chvod HaMeis, that in Yerushalayim, you know, so nothing is permissible in Yerushalayim, so everyone agrees that the Kvura has to take place as fast as possible.
In the old days, they would take the body in a boat, which would take a long time to burn Eretz Yisrael. So that would not be considered.
That would also be L'Chvod HaMeis, yeah, you're allowed to do that. That would also be L'Chvod HaMeis, yeah. Yeah, I think from Babel, I don't think from Babel they can't go. I think from Babel they...
Again,
right.
Kabbalistic or any
benefits from many being here
relatives?
I mean, the Psukim always describe Kibro Silavosa. I mean, the Psukim in Vayechi point out the significance of Yaakov.
Yeah,
Yaakov.
Are you there? Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Where are you coming in? Okay.
Where are they going to open?
Great. Okay, I'll make sure. Okay.
Bring the Malta, Malta, and I saw it.
Why, sir? Oh,
you
want to
Malta.
Why are you paying late for this year?